ויקרא אל משה, וידבר השם אלוב, מאויל מויד לימו. So this is, of course, the beginning of Toras Kahanim. And we find many difficult Mamore Chazal on this first Pasuk. But I'm going to be aiming on two of them, two of the main Nekudas. Nekuda number one, of course, the famous first word, which has the protruding small Aleph. Vayikro el Moshe, right? Which is an Aleph Zeira. It's a small Aleph. Now, Chazal tell us that the small Aleph is there for a particular reason. Because Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't want to have any kind of title. As Rashi brings down part of the Chazal. Vayikro is a Loshon of Chiba. It's a Loshon of love. Hashem is calling out to you. If you look by Bilam HaRosha, Lahavdil Aleph Havdolos, it says Vayikor. Vayikor means I met you. Right? It's a whole Shaila in the Gemara in Chulm. If you meet somebody, you weren't planning to visit them to begin with, if you should tell them you just met them, the Ma'is in the Gemara. The Gemara brings down, it was Machlek Samaroyim. Actually, what to do? They met somebody, and one of the Amiroyim said, he said, oh, I'm so hungry, you shouldn't have come so far to see me. So one of them said, don't worry, we didn't. We came, we were here anyway. He said, we would have come even further to see you, but Lamai said, we didn't come here to see you. The other man, the Omar, the Rav Safra, had tainus, what do you mean, why did you tell him? You made him feel bad. Shouldn't have done that. And this Gemara actually becomes an anchor in halacha. Mamish an anchor in halacha in Hilchos Knevis Das. Because this happens a lot. You can go to a chasana out of town where you happen to be there. The chasana in Chicago. You have a business trip in Chicago. So you go to your friend's chasana, you make chasana in Chicago. In a million years, you would have flown to Chicago for the chasana. But you had a business trip. Now he feels like $1 million. He came to his daughter's chasna in Chicago. He came to his son's chasna in Chicago. He's mamish in, he's in Gan Eden. He says, thank you so much for making the trip. Do you have a chiv now to tell him? Well, it's not so partial. I was here anyway. I know a maisa like this in Eretz Yisrael. With two chaverim, two close chaverim. Oh, Shkech, whoever brought me this. Shkech. Shkech Naftali. Boch HaTorah, the Noe Elohim, Malach Elohim. Shakhil Niyabidvoy. A guy came to me, I was once in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody here in the neighborhood was marrying off a child there, in Eretz Yisrael. So I went to the chasen. He knew I was in Eretz Yisrael anyway, he was no going to have his ask question. But there was somebody else in Eretz Yisrael who just came in for 3 days. Turned out, he had to be there anyway. And his friend thought he came just for the chas. And he asked me this shayla. Does he have a chiv to tell him? So we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, you're not mechiv. We paskin like the mandoma. You're not allowed to do a geneva's das. But if the guy on his own thinks, you don't have to tell him. No, it's to send an invitation to somebody that you know he can make it, the chasana. And really, if you had a havamini, he would make it, you wouldn't invite him. That's Geneva's Das. Because there you're doing an act of Geneva's Das.
Like Shalom
Bayis? Huh?
Like when Mashana goes to Shalom Bayis?
Right, right. Shalom Bayis is a bigger heta than Stam to make somebody feel good. To make somebody feel good, you're not allowed to lie, for sure. And you're not allowed to pursue Geneva's Das. But if the person on their own thinks something and makes them feel better, and for sure locally it could happen all the time. You go to the city and you stop by your friend's chasana and they think you came to the city for the chasana. You're not mechuyev to tell them otherwise. Obviously you shouldn't say I came in just for this, but you don't have to tell them that you didn't. which this lent itself to another Shaila, famous Shaila now in Shul, it's famous anyway at this point. I mentioned the Shaila, where a guy named his baby, remember, after the wrong person. It wasn't after the wrong person. He named his baby after a person in Tanakh. So he names his baby after Moshe, or Aaron, and the grandmother had a father by the name of Aaron. And she assumed that was after her father. She heard. So when she sent the check, which she normally sent 180 or 360, she sent $1,800. And she wrote, "Thank you so much for naming after my father." The guy wanted to know, is he allowed to cash the check? She's giving him the check. That's the shot. So they went to one of the Gedele Menatz Yisrael, who told him, it's $1,800. I mean, so have in mind now after him too. Doesn't have to be just for that. You could have in mind that too. So some wanted to apply this sugyan chum to the shaila, but it's not a proper analogy. Because here it's Geneva's mumen. Here it's not a shaila, just a Geneva's das. Here, if the whole money was given for that reason, that's a problem to cash the check. It would be a problem. But al kopanim, the whole language of vayikor, that's what vayikor means. Vayikor means I happened to meet you. I didn't make an effort. We'll talk about this more by Shloich Manos and Mitzvah Hashem. Next week, Pali Nether will be giving a shir on Hilchas Purim next week. We'll announce what night it'll be to go through all of quickly through the halachas of Purim. But whether you could be mitzvah Shloich Manos that way, but just meeting somebody and giving them Shloich Manos. Or do you have to go to an address? A lot of times it happens. You're walking down the street, you see somebody. Here. Is that good enough? Al kuponim, la'aloch l'maiseh, the vayikar means, I just met you. And that's why by Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses that language. He met him. The Torah doesn't want to accord Bilam or Russia the respect that Hashem Kvayochel is calling out there. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the same description. Moshe also didn't want that Hashem should write in the Torah that he calls him. So he wanted it should just say Vayikor. And Hashem, just the opposite, Hashem wanted Chavivus. Rashi says, by the Umas Ha'elam, that's the way Hashem, but by Moshe. Moshe was Adon HaNaviyah. So Moshe wanted it should say like that. Hashem wanted it to call regular. So the Pshara was made that he made an Aleph Zaira. That was the Pshara. So the obvious question is, why did the Torah pick here to convey to us that lesson? There are so many places the Torah could have conveyed it till now.
How come by the snare? It says Vayikol Lekim Mitechas Snare and the Vayimah Moshe Moshe. I think that would
apply. Yeah. Over there and all over from there. We never find a Loshen Arai. All of a sudden, the beginning of Vayikol, Moshe Rabbeinu. If we want to show Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, I understand that this small Aleph it's not a bizarre to Moshe, it's a covet to see who he was. But why here? We already went through a whole sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu. As Avi is saying, the first time Hashem called him, that was the biggest covet, first time. Hashem gave him everything at that point. Chavivus, and he gave him Malchus. That was the meeting place. Over there we don't find a small olive. Only over here. There's got to be a reason. Right. He handed it over. He didn't have much of a choice. In fact, Chazal say, Hey, Rabbi. So that wouldn't really be a... That would lend itself to this. But...
His intention was not to take from Aaron.
Just the opposite. Chazal tell us that at this point, Hey Raloi, And if I hurt Moshe Rabbeinu when he gave the kohen. Hey, Raloi. Hashem told him, what do you want? The Torah was mine and I gave it to you. So, you got to be generous. Okay, well, I'm not going to go into that right now. But Akoponim, the bottom line is, there has to be a reason why it's over here. There has to be a reason. So last night I discussed the pshat, which I brought down also in the Sefer, which is definitely one of the ways to look at it, is that Sefer Vayikra is a Sefer where people bring karbonos, and the point of a karbon is to do tshuva. That's the whole point of a karbon. Hashem doesn't need karbonos. Hashem wants tshuva. Right? Lomali roiv zivchachem yoyimah Hashem. Hashem says, I don't need your karbonos. Right? Zivch elokim ruach nishbo. The Baruch Hashem wants tshuva. Doesn't want karbonos. So you could say that since the whole point of a karbon is tshuva, tshuva is only possible if there's anava. Anava is the, I would say, the hakdama of the hakdama of tshuva. Because tshuva, the aleph beis of tshuva is you have to be makir sachet. You have to be able to say, I humble yourself and say, I did something wrong. I regret what I did. I'm accepting the change. But all of those elements can only exist if you have anivus. If somebody is standing with their gaiva, they can't get anywhere. They can't begin. They can't begin the process of tshuva. So that could be, that was one of the ways we explained. Could be why Sefer Vayikra starts with the Aleph Zeira. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu mastered this quality always. And we could have written it anywhere. But over here, in Sefer Vayikra, we were introducing the karbonos, which are based on tshuva. So here we give a hagdoma of anivus, because that's the only way a karbon will have any value. As I said, the Novi says it clearly, I'm not telling you a chiddush. Zivchei Elohim ruach nishbo. It's black and white. The karbon to Hashem is a broken heart. That's what it is. So that's one approach. Which would also answer the second Chazal, which is difficult, which is challenging to understand. Chazal tells us that why do we start Teres Kahanim with children? Right? Today, it's changed, actually. Today, the Chadorim learn Sefer Bereishis with the children. But still, by the Chumash party, they start with Vayikra, because they don't want to forego the minhag of Klal Yisrael. So if you ever went to a Chumash party, they read the first pasuk in Vayikra, and they actually say this Teres Kahanim. Yovei Tohoirim, why do children start Vayikra? Because we want Tohoirim to come. The truth is, for a child, to say that Vayikra is designed for children is astounding. Vayikra is the hardest Chumash. Between Karbonos and the Goyim and Kashrus, I mean, it is the hardest Chumash. You need to be the most sophisticated in learning to learn Sefer Vayikra. It's the hardest Chumash to learn, I would say. Sefer Vayikra. Really. I would say it's the hardest Chumash to learn. And that's what you do with children. Obviously, there must be something behind this. It doesn't end with children. Obviously, if you're only going to learn it as a child, it's not going to be very valuable. You got to learn Kachrim when you're an adult and you're a Talmud Chacham. So why does that become the shtempel? That becomes like the way we describe Vayikra, the children's Chumash. Memela Bereishis also is not for children. Nothing's for children. But Memela Bereishis, on some simplistic level, you could go through the Sefer Bereishis, teach it to children. In a way, some of the things going on there with the Nisyanis and Akkad, maybe children would have an easier time with it. Less kashas. But Vayikra is categorized as the Sefer that Ketanim should come and learn. It's very strange. There has to be something behind this. Pasuk says, Im oilo korbonoi, even before that, it says, Dabrel ben Yisrael v'malt aleim, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban lashem. The person should bring a korban mikem from you. So Chazal tell us, Mikem has to belong to you. Can't be Gozel. Now Gozel, a stolen carbon, is clobbered over again and again and again and again that you can't bring a stolen carbon. Carbon Evel, carbon Gozel. Right? We learn from carbon, it can't be a stolen carbon. Mikem can't be a stolen carbon. Adam. Chazal said, why does he use the word Adam? Because just like Adam didn't bring anything stolen because everything was his, right? There was nobody else in the world. So when Adam brought a carbon, it couldn't be stolen. It was his world. So you also have to be like Adam. How many times are you going to tell me the same point? That the carbon can't be stolen. Why do you, after you already told me the carbon can't be stolen, bein lifnei yish, bein lachar yish, with all the, after all the Torah, now you have to tell me Adam. You have to be like Adam. Just like Adam can't bring a stolen carbon, you too. I already know that. I know that I can't be stolen. Why do I have to be like Adam? Because you already told me the carbon can't be stolen. So what do you have to tell me now? It has to be like Adam, just like Adam wasn't stolen. I know it can't be stolen. I mean, how many times do you have to chazer? And the Torah needed this new link to Adam Arishan.
Some people can.
Just like Adam Arishan, just like Adam Arishan. You too. So there must be something deeper going on here of by Kabbonis. L'moshel, by Lulav and Esrog, there's also a din of Lachem. And over there, the Torah was satisfied by just saying, L'kachtem Lachem. That's it. It's done. And we know already. We know how Makbet people are with Lachem. When I used to sell Lulavim and Esrogim out of my house, and it was a very, very big losing proposition because of many reasons why it was a losing proposition. It was a major losing proposition. But on top of the losses, some people, you know, they don't pay. You know, no, not on purpose. They, you know, they haven't mind to pay, but it's machshava kamaisa. So I after 3 years where I realized that, you know, that about 20% of the Sregan became puzzle in the house from people picking it up and looking at it and feeling it and touching it and squeezing it and Chavivas HaMitzvah, that puzzle. And the way it worked originally is I was like a moicher. The guy would come, I'd buy it from this wholesaler. And then it was a business. Now the Machaya guy comes, people buy it from him directly. I just check it, I'm done. Machaya. So a couple of years ago I came up with the info. What am I doing? What am I Zovin Vazovin Tagarik? What's the point here? But anyway, so Lamaisa in those days, so I the second or third year after I realized, you know, there's a good 10% of people that don't come back. They forget. And I'm not running after somebody for $35. You know, I'm not writing it down, I'm running after them. So just let it be. But then I started a new policy. It was mamish. It worked like beautiful. When the person leaves, they go, yeah, I'm going to bring the money. I say, yeah, I'm not worried because if you don't bring the money, you're not yoitz, it's not a problem. Ooh, I will bring the money. Once it's a lochem shayla, I say, no problem. You're not going to be yoitz, it's no problem. Can I take it without pay? No problem. I'm holding the best collateral, the mitzvah. No problem. So Lamaise over there, with one word, it was enough. Lochem. The Torah didn't have to say Adam and Mikem and Lochem and Adam. Lochem. But here happens the Torah, after all the kapedis the Torah gave, it needed to link it to Adam Arishan. Adam. It doesn't say by Esther, by Luv and Esther, Lakachtam Adam B'yam Arishan. V'lokach Adam B'yam Arishan. We understand, it has to be Shulchan, finished. So obviously there's something more here. So I think that we could say, perhaps, that the lesson that's learned from here, perhaps, is a deeper idea. And this can also explain to us why this, Chazal tell us after this Aleph, there was some ink left over, because Moshe Rabbeinu, there was exactly the right amount of ink, right? But there was enough ink to fill the whole Aleph. He made a small Aleph. So with that extra ink, that's where he got the Karnei Hod. His shine, the shine of Moshe Rabbeinu, came from this extra ink. So it seems like this Aleph is like the whole godless, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is all captured in this Aleph's ear. So it seems, you know, how is that? Why is that? What's behind this? So we know that at the end of the Torah, we praise Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe gets a major hespit, the last pasuk in the Torah. We talk about his prophecy, his greatness. And then we end with that famous pasuk. That's how the Chumash ends. So what's the Yorah Chazoka? So Chazal bring down, Rashi brings down the Chazal. That Moshe Rabbeinu went and he broke the luchas. Everybody asks, the greatness that Moshe broke the luchas. That was a tremendous tragedy. He had to break the luchas. What was this big thing that he broke the luchas? First of all, he had to break the luchas. The Gemara in Pesachim says he made a kal v'chaymer. A mumer can't even bring a korban Pesach. Surely he can't be the whole Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu held, he has to break the luchas. There's no choice. He had to break the luchas. Why is that a high point of his career? Why would you talk about that by the Leviah? Why would that be with the? Why would that be the discussion by the Leviah? Something which was tragic. Mistama, when they were masped Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, I would imagine they wouldn't have said one of his things that he 24,000 of his talmidim had to die. It's not what you say by the Leviah. You don't talk about the tragedies. Okay, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. That's when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. He broke the luchas. So, the explanation that I shared with the Olam some years ago, possible explanation, there's so many things you could say about that pasuk. But one of the ideas, when Moshe breaks the luchas, he tells Klai Yisrael, if you look in Parashat Zek, if I took the two luchas from my two hands, and I broke both of them, he's redundantly, again, repeating again and again, the fact that they were two luchas, he broke both of them, he threw them out of both of his hands. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin that when the Goyim heard the Aseres HaDibros, so we know that the Aseres HaDibros have two luchas. One luach is Ben Adam L'Makom. The other luach is Ben Adam L'Chaver. Right? The first one, Anoichi, Lo'yilacha, Shabbos. The second one, Ben Adam L'Chaver. So when the Goyim heard the first five dibros, the beginning of the luchas, they said, L'chvoid Atzma Yudesh. We're not impressed. The Almighty, he's busy with his own covet. L'chvoid Atzma Yudesh. But then, when they heard the second luchas, L'sitzach, L'signoi, L'sachmoi, those are things that make sense to them. So the Gemara then says in Kiddushin, Chazru v'hoidu b'dibris rishenis. Then they said, wow, those first dibris are also good. So the obvious question is, if the Goyim didn't like the first ones, just take the second ones. Why'd they make a big... It says once they saw the second ones, they went, oh, now we're moided to the first ones. What's the difference? So the pshat that we gave in that sugya in Kiddushin was like this. All the Goyim understood that you need laws. You need civil laws. All the Goyim understood that it can't be a hefkevelt. Look what's going on now in the Ukraine. It's not a hefkevelt. The world's not a hefkevelt. The Goyim understood that. The Goyim understood there has to be law and order. People have to respect each other. People, they understood that. And therefore, all of the civil nations had dibros. They had, to some level, sachmet. They had these things. In fact, the Achronim asked why the Goyim didn't want to take the Torah for those things. It's part of the Sheva Mitzvah. It's part of the... But they didn't have a Anoich Hashem Alekech. They didn't have a Loyil Lecha Elohim Acherim. They didn't have a unification with one God. An absolute unification without any questions, with a Mesorah, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. They realized after Matan Torah, you know what? The reason why our laws don't hold up is because we don't have the first one. Chazru v'hoidu b'dibris rishanis. Said, oh, you need to have, if you don't have a God, and you don't prescribe to the oneness of the Almighty, then you can't make any laws. You can make laws all day, it's not going to hold. It's not going to stand. Every ois in Tariq Mitzvahs is still here today. Every letter in the Torah has not changed. Because there's an Anoichi. If there wouldn't have been an Anoichi Chas V'Shalom in the Torah, then the Torah would have turned over 20 times. But there's an Anoichi. There's Lo'il Lecha. And that's what secured the rest of the Torah. The superiority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Klal Yisrael worshipped the eagle, the main chet was Avodah Zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu could have just broken the first luach. But Moshe decided then to take advantage. He said, Rabbi Isai, if the lo yilacha is not there, you have nothing. If lo yilacha is not there, if you could have another God, if you could have Abu Zayyad, Avodah Zarah, then everything is gone. That's what he says. I took both luchas. That's why he stresses it. I took both luchas, not just the luach that you desecrated. I took both luchas, and I broke both of them. So you should see with your eyes that without Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, lo yilacha, you have nothing. That was the biggest lesson that Moshe taught us. That was the biggest lesson. And because of that, that's how the Torah ends, telling us that about Moshe Rabbeinu. When a person does a chet, the shoresh of the chet comes from the lack of you being mevatel yourself to the Rabbanu Shalom. If you're absolutely mevatel yourself to the Rabbanu Shalom, the chet doesn't happen. The chet is an outcome of you not being mevatel yourself to Hashem. That's the chet. And if you look at all the psukim in the Teichacha, it always starts with forgetting that there's a Rabbanu Shalom. Why is Shemitah so important? If you look at the Teichacha, no Shemitah, Teichacha. Teichacha ends. Oz Tirtza Oretz Hashab Seisah. Then you'll have Shemitah back. What's Shemitah? It's one mitzvah. No. Shemitah is Anoichi Hashem Lekech. Shemitah is surrendering ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Rabbanu Shalom's world. That is the mocker of the whole Torah. So it's not the only Avera we've done. But that Avera triggers a ripple effect. Because that's the Anoichi Hashem Lekech. And when the Anoichi Hashem Lekech is gone, everything is gone. What makes a person deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Such a logical thing. What leads to that? Gaiva. It's a ferish pasuk. First of all, we know Hashem says about Abal Gaiva, Ein anivu yuchay l'modibu. We can't live in one place. About Gaiva. We can't live in one home. That's what Rabbanu Shalom says about Gaiva. But you look at the pasuk, it says, V'rom l'vavecha v'shachachtas Hashem l'kech. Gaiva makes a person deny HaKadosh Baruch. Chet cannot happen unless you deny HaKadosh Baruch. Unless you deny Anoichi Hashem l'kech. So anivus is the key of being bottled to HaKadosh Baruch. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. And that's the reason why when he was introducing Tikkun HaChet Moshe Rabbeinu, he started with the Midas HaNova. Because the Midas HaNova is the acknowledging and acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch. That's the ultimate HaNova. That's what HaNova is. And that's easiestly acquired when somebody is like a cotton. One of the milos of a cotton. Chazal say when a cotton learns, Ein o'ilam miskayim, Elibishvil Hevel Tinaik Shal Beis Rab. Right. The Gemara calls it Hevel Shein Bechet. It's pure. So the Ben Ishchai says, what's so pure about the children? He says, they're maminim b'Hashem b'li cheshbonos. A child doesn't have any cheshbonos. A child doesn't have any, he just has a pure emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pure. There's no, when a child is young, you tell him, David should help. That's the end of the story. And my 11-year-old boy tells me he has a headache, and he's worried about it. I say, Tom, what's going to be? I said, Ben Hashem's going to be, yeah, done. It's finished. Doesn't this be cashes? You tell it to your 25-year-old, they have cashes. An MRI, this, or that, how do you know? Maybe it's... There's an age where that stops. There's an age where you just say it's the Rabbanu Shalom. And Mamela, Chumash Vayikra becomes what we call the Sefer Shel Tinoikos. Because every Jew should work on having that Emunah Peshut in HaKadosh Baruch Hu without questions. In that regard, we have to be like children. In that regard, we have to try to bring our, elevate us, not lower ourselves, elevate ourselves to the level of children. And that's the reason why Teres Kohanim, that's the reason why Anov is the introduction to Teres Kohanim. That's what Teres Kohanim is the Savior. Now we come to Adam. By Adam HaRishon, there was no question. Hashem created him. Hashem put him into Gan Eden. Adam HaRishon didn't have any possible thoughts of Koichi for Oitzim Yodi Yosol Yosachayel. Adam HaRishon, there were no questions. Hashem created me, and he put me here. There was no science fiction. There was no scientific fiction. So the Torah says, when you bring a carbon, it doesn't just have to be pure from thievery, that you didn't go to somebody else's barn and steal the animal. It has to be that you prescribe to the Misha'am of the Hoya Elam, that you realize the whole world is there by Nishalams. And if you don't, that's also a form of gzela. It's ideological gzela. Doesn't mean you stole it from somewhere. And that's why, after telling us the carbon has to belong to you, it says another condition. Be like Adam HaRishon. Just like Adam HaRishon had pure understanding that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's velt. That's what you have to be when you bring a carbon. Okay, stop.
People leave from Kaifa community, they have a lack of self-confidence. And it's those Napoleons that have to act as if they're Balagaiva, and therefore